Delusions run strong on this podcast. Rish Outfield has them. I have them. Our guests have them. If you listen long enough, you will have delusions too. The Journey Into podcast is proud to present This Journey Into a Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. A Journey Into Star Wars, featuring numerous delusions of grandeur.
I'm out of it. For a little while, everybody gets delusions of grandeur.
Greetings, Exalted Ones. I am Rish Outfield, your co-host.
And I am Marshall Latham, your other co-host.
Welcome to the Delusions of Grandeur podcast. Once again, we are lucky enough to have more than just me and Marshall in the room. Well, no one's in my room, as usual. But we've actually got a guest here today, and it is Gino Moretto.
Hello.
Does it bother you when I go dee 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 when I say your name, Gino?
It brings back childhood memories I would rather forget.
But okay. Well,
it's okay.
Then that was the second to last time I will ever do that.
But no, thanks for having me again, guys. This is really cool. Really happy to be here again.
I think last time we had you on, we talked about, you know, your Star Wars story and your experience with Star Wars growing up, and we ended up talking a lot about Luke Skywalker and kind of the effect he had on us. But one of the things that we were talking about even before we did the last episode was that you have a love and a lot of experience playing Star Wars video games.
Yeah, I do. I mean, video games in general, it's like almost two of the defining features of my life have been a love of Star Wars and a love of video games. So it's nice that they kind of dovetail together.
When I thought about that subject, I haven't played, I've played a lot of video games growing up and through college and whatnot, but there came a point where I realized that I could really go too far with that. So I've kind of backed off and not done a lot of video games, but I have fond memories back in the days of the arcade games. I believe it was in 1980, I think, just before. I don't know when it was. I could look it up. But anyway, right there, the 79 or 80, when the Star Wars video arcade game came out. And I sunk a lot of quarters into that game. Do you guys remember that one?
Oh, very, very fondly.
The trench game.
Yeah.
Vector graphics, the blow up Death Star. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time. Because, yeah, I think you approach the Death Star and fight some TIE fighters, and then you go into the trench and you go to blow up the Death Star. And that was great. I mean, it was, you know, the first person kind of thing. Even though the graphics were laughable compared to what you'd see today, at the time, that was cool.
That was cutting edge back then. I think that was one of It was one of the first. Oh man, maybe Tempest was the first Vector game, but it was up there.
Well, do you remember that you could see your little guns on the side of the screen, and you could see the nose of the X-wing at the bottom of the screen?
Yeah.
And I mean, it was first person, I guess, before we knew what first person shooters were, I suppose. Oh, geez. You had the little, what do you call it? Is it a reticle?
Yep.
The targeting X, and you'd move that across the blasts coming towards you or across the TIE fighters. Yeah, I was a little kid, but I would watch people play it more than I would play it myself. But, oh, I thought that was fun.
Yeah, and didn't the lasers shoot out of, like, you had the print version of the, like you said, the guns and the TIE fighter, but on the video screen, it looked like the lasers were actually coming from those, right?
Yeah, they did.
That's my first, probably all of our first memories of a video game that had to do with Star Wars.
I think one of the coolest things about the old Star Wars arcade game, the first one, it's one of the first arcade games I remember where there was actually voice. I think there was a Ben, you would hear Kenobi say, use the Force, and maybe even Han say something. But I don't think I'd ever had games talk. Well, I can't remember one before that time.
R2 trying to increase the power.
Yahoo!
You're all clear, kid.
I guess that along with that, the only other, I played like Nintendo and Super Nintendo, any Star Wars versions that they had in there as I grew up. And then later on, I think one of the first PC games that I ever bought, you know, back in, I think it was even when it was just Windows 95, if that, the X-Wing game came out, and I remember I bought a joystick and had it on my PC. I played, it was similar to the arcade game, but you went on different missions in your X-Wing and did different things.
You're under attack by Imperial Star Destroyers. Begin evasive maneuvers. Launch the X-Wing fighter.
And I think later on they came out with a TIE Fighter version of that.
They did indeed. Yeah, the TIE Fighter one was great.
So that, and other than that, I haven't played like the video games where you're, you know, like a World of Warcraft kind of Star Wars game. So I'm interested to hear your experience and what you've had experience doing that. I guess before we go into that, Rich, do you have any other Star Wars video game memories?
I remember there being a Star Wars game on the Nintendo, and it was a side scroller. And I'm sure it would be laughably primitive today if we saw it, but it seemed so cool, and you had the 8-bit version of John Williams' music playing. and yeah, they made a Star Wars and Empire and Jedi game like that. I am assuming that was the first Nintendo. Do you know, Gino?
Nintendo never really, well, as far as I know anyway, got over here. Otherwise, I would have badgered my parents to insanity wanting to get one. But it wasn't. There were. We had a kind of a. The first video set game system we had was a fountain. And I think that may have been just a New Zealand thing. And that was laughably primitive, but I loved it. But they didn't have any Star Wars games on that. But I think you're right. I think in terms of console games, those ones you mentioned may have been the first home ones anyway. I remember seeing. Gosh. You remember that show, That's Incredible? Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There was one episode I distinctly remember where there was some kid who was freakishly into Star Wars and had got some amazingly high score on the Empire Strikes Back Nintendo game with these big blocky AT-AT walkers walking around. So I remember seeing that and going, oh, I wish they had that here. Why can't I play that? But it never came.
And there must have been the Atari 2600 games too, but I don't. And I had an Atari, but I don't remember playing Star Wars on those. So that's interesting too.
Well, okay, let's talk about the X-Wing game. That was like 93 or 94, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's when I was playing it. Yeah.
And Gino, you said that those games are still fun today.
I've not played the X-Wing TIE Fighter ones for a long time. I remember playing the TIE Fighter a fair bit, and that was really fun. I know you can still get them today. There's a website called Good Old Games, or GOG, where you can buy a lot of, you know, older games at reasonably cheap prices. I was looking on there today, and I think, you know, you can pick up X-Wing or TIE Fighter or X-Wing versus TIE Fighter for about $8 US, which that's not bad. So I don't know how they hold up, but I remember them being fun, and I'm sure there would still be entertainment to be had from that particular series.
Okay, so what is the game that you were saying was from the good old days, but is still fun today?
Well, I think, like, if I was going to recommend one There's about four or five Star Wars games that I think are really worth playing. There are loads and loads of them out there, and I haven't played them all. But about four or five that are really cool. I'd say Galactic Battlegrounds and Battlefront are both really fun still. It's been a while since I played them, but there's not a lot with the formula that could go wrong. They're two very different games, and they're not really strong in terms of story, but they're good in terms of gameplay. Galactic Battlegrounds was a hack of Age of Empires, if you ever played that.
I didn't play it a lot, but I'm aware of how that works.
Yeah, so and, like an yeah. empire building game, you can play multiplayer conquest things. You got little guys and they gather resources and build buildings, and the buildings let you do other things and build more units. And the idea is ultimately to crush everyone into submission. So Galactic Battlegrounds was the Star Wars version of that. And that was a lot of fun. I played a lot of that. One of the great things about that game from a purely sadistic kind of point of view is that the choosable races you could be. Like in Age of Empires, there were all sorts of, you know, real historical races you could be. There was the Britons and the Aztecs and the whatevers. But in Battlegrounds, there was, you could be the Rebels, the Imperials, the Gungans, weirdly enough, and something else. I forget the other ones, but what I always loved to do was have a custom game, choose my enemy to be the Gungans, and then go the Imperials, and just build up a massive army of walkers, and just blow Gungans sky high. That was just the best thing.
See, you are selling many copies of this game as you speak right now.
So that's that. There's not a lot of story, but it's fun gameplay. Battlefront is a first or third person conquest game. So what you've got is two sides, and you can play this multiplayer. I never did because I'm terrible at these games, but the cool thing is you can just have all your opponents be computer-controlled bots and just have fun shooting guys. So each side has a number of reinforcement points, and there's, again, four factions. You can go Rebellion Era, go Rebellion or Empire, or go Pre-Rebellion and go the Confederacy or the Clones. And you choose your class of person you want to go in. They all cost various points, which get deducted from your reinforcement value. And then you go and just kill each other. And the team that gets annihilated first loses. So that's really fun.
So those are more, like you said, gameplay type of things. You don't have the story behind it and whatnot.
No, there are campaigns, but you know, they're pretty loose in terms of narrative. There's not a great deal there, but it's more gameplay, similar to Modern Warfare, that kind of game. So a lot of fun, but not narratively terrifically interesting. But ones that do have really good narratives, there are three I can recommend, which are fantastic.
I've heard a lot about the Knights of the Old Republic.
That's top of the list. That's really, really good. That's in my opinion, the best Star Wars game there is.
It's more of a role-playing game, video role-playing game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is a role-playing game, but not multiplayer. It's all single. You don't have to rely on other people at all. It's just a single-player story.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, it's set in the Old Republic, so a good 1,000 years before the rise of the Empire, I think, something like that. And it's significant for bringing the character Darth Revan into the expanded universe. I don't know if you've ever heard that name before, but I think he's a pretty important figure in the lore now.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I'm interested in. I mean, you know, how much, from what I've heard about Knights of the Republic, it really did become part of the canon, and it really did develop some of these characters, and they made novels based on the game. Is that right?
Yeah, as far as I know, I've never read any of the novels or things connected with Knights of the Old Republic, but it did have a reasonably significant effect or, you know, impact on the expanded universe. I think, you know, Darth Revan is a legit in there important dude.
So who is Darth Revan then?
Okay, so Darth Revan is, in terms of the game, he was the big bad, but he is not at the time where you start. When you start the game, it's in a lot of ways, it's very much like Dungeons and Dragons, but set in the Star Wars universe. You create a character in a similar fashion, and you choose what class they are, and you can be a soldier, or a scoundrel, or a... Oh, gosh. It's been years since I played. I forget the other ones, but you get the idea. And when you get dropped in the story, what's happened is there is a Sith uprising. I think this predates the whole lore of two in the Sith. But anyway, there's a whole heap of Sith around the place.
Okay.
And they have acquired, well, Darth Revan and his apprentice, Darth Malak, found this relic, this thing called the Starforge. I think it's called the Starforge. And what that does is it's basically like an energy converter. It takes the energy from a star and you can convert it into matter. So it's a big factory where you can basically make robotic troops and ships and armaments. And this thing is powering a Sith uprising. And in the game, you find out pretty early on that, surprise, surprise, Darth Malak turned against Darth Revan and slew him, cut him down, turned the guns from his own ship onto Revan's ship just as he was about to triumph in a duel, and he's gone. So Darth Malak has assumed control of the entire Sith invasion. And your story is set against that. You are trying to gather followers and people to your cause and essentially trying to stop Darth Malak from taking over the galaxy.
So how does that work as far as in terms of how you're playing and what you're doing? How do you, I mean, does it just come up with announcements on a video screen as you're doing, like are you going against campaigns and challenges and then you learn about this stuff? Or how does the narrative drive the game and the game drive the narrative? How does that work?
The narrative is hugely important in the game. It's a third-person view, so you're always seeing your character, and you move them from location to location with the keyboard or what have you. And you talk to other people. There are dialogue trees, and you'll say what you want to say to a person, and they'll respond depending on what you say. And that's how you drive the game forward. That's how you find out about what's going on. You essentially talk to people. They will often, in terms of you getting what you want, you'll have to do things for them. So you get the quest-based thing.
Okay. And that's so that's the main gameplay, is you're on a quest to go help this village or something that needs help.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. Precisely okay. It. And so the first part of the game, you're stuck on this, I forget the name of the planet you're on. It's similar to Coruscant, but it's not Coruscant. You're stuck there, so your first big mission is trying to get to a ship to get off world. And to do that, you've got to you run afoul of the Hutt gangster who's kind of in charge of the place. And you get your first kind of followers, your first group members, and... Once one of them is a Jedi who has been stranded as well, who was on the crew of the ship that you were on when it got sort of blown up. And as you progress through, she comments that you seem to be, strong with the Force. And when you get off planet eventually, it's deemed that you have the potential to be a Jedi. And then you have to travel to the place where the Jedis have holed up now that the Sith have kind of like arrived in force, because they're scattered. And your next big quest is being a Jedi and gathering up the pieces of your own lightsaber that you need to make.
Yeah, I've seen some of that, like on the Clone Wars, Ahsoka Tano and Yoda take these younglings out to a planet, and they need to go into the temple or whatever and retrieve their Kyber crystal and things like that. So is that similar to?
Yeah, it's very similar. That's pretty much what's going on. I can't really tell you. Well, in lieu of spoilers, because there are some big ones. There's really one of the few times in my life when I've been watching something and a plot twist has caught me completely by surprise and left their jaw hitting the ground. There is those kind of moments in there, one in particular. So I don't really want to talk about that because there's a chance you may play the game, and I would highly recommend it. But it has a fantastic story and really cool characters. That's one of the biggest drives of Knights of the Old Republic is the characters, and it has arguably one of my favorite Star Wars characters in there, which is the droid HK-47, who's just amazing.
Now, he's an assassin droid, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You find out, I think when you have him, he's fitted with a restraining bolt, and he can't access his assassin functions, and he's sort of begging and imploring you to purchase him and remove the restraining bolt and he'll be loyal to you. And he is after a fashion. And you find out through the course of the story that he's actually being built by Darth Revan. And there's a whole bunch of really interesting stuff about HK-47. But he's just one of the most delightfully evil characters you're ever likely to encounter.
I like that.
Yeah, it sounds fun. So let's say you go through the game, you get to the end.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to start over again and you choose a different type of character, a different race or whatever, does it pretty much lead you into the same story? Or can you have like different experiences over here and do different things?
You can have markedly different experiences. One of the big things is the whole light side, dark side of your character. Certain actions that you do or even certain things that you say will give you light side points or dark side points. And if you, progress further on the light side or slip further into the dark side, you'll be granted access to different powers. Like if you go into the dark side, you can use force lightning or other sort of pretty nasty stuff like that. And if you're on the light side, there are a bunch of other less inherently evil things you can do. But I think, how many times did I play through Knights of the Old Republic? I think I played through at least 3 times and maybe one more just to do certain things differently, because there's a light side end and a dark side end. So in order to see how the story plays out, you kind of have to play it through 2 times. I didn't mind doing that at all. It was great.
Well, how long ago are we talking about here? When did Knights of the Old Republic come out?
Knights of the Old Republic came out 2003. So it's over 10 years old now. So this is well before I had kids.
And when was the last time you played it?
Oh, gosh. Good question. I think I stopped playing it probably around about 2006-ish, I want to say, maybe 2005-6. I know that my last playthrough, I took a long time through it. I wasn't quite so kind of glued to the keyboard and the monitor. But went through at least 3 or 4 times, and there was something different in each playthrough.
What did you play it on, Gino?
I played it on PC.
Yeah, you're making me want to get it. And I'm sure it's dirt cheap now.
$12, I think, I on Great Old Games. But I would highly recommend it. Even for the graphics might not hold up quite so much, but the narrative would. The story is what you're playing through. And the great thing about Knights of the Old Republic is it's not like one of those Twitch games. You don't actually have to be good at video games to play it. When you're involved in combat, you're allowed to pause the combat, stop it completely, and plan out what skills or what powers you're going to use on your next turn. And yeah, so the combat can still be really tough, certainly towards the later phases of the game. But it's not something that you have to have great hand-eye coordination for, which is really good.
I mean, do you get pushed through the narrative, or can you like just goof around on this one planet and go meet everybody and do all kinds of things, or does it kind of push you and say, hey, let's get moving on with the storyline?
From what I remember, it has been a few years since I played it, but there's no push. You can there's obviously a main storyline progression that moves you through the main narrative, but there are side quests and other things you can do, and nothing you can just run around a planet and see and investigate and explore and talk to everyone you want multiple times, I think, if it'll let you. But there's really quite a big range of places to go and things to do. I know that part of the game happens on Kashyyyk. You have to head on there. Part of the game, you have to infiltrate a Sith temple on Korriban. So that's really fun. gosh, what else is there? I know there is, I think Dantooine is where you are learning your Jedi stuff and where you have your lightsaber mission. And there's a big chunk of the game on this. Oh, gosh. See, I should have done my research more on this Coruscant-like place that isn't Coruscant. So I'm sure there are planets and stuff I'm forgetting. But, yeah, no, it's a big game. It will take you a while to get through. And, yeah, the story is really what's king of that. It's a fantastic story. It really is. Can't recommend that game highly enough.
See, yeah, this is a dangerous show to do because... You know, like I said, you know, with podcasting and just my normal job and family with four kids and all kinds, you know, my time is always stretched, it seems like.
I sympathize.
Yeah, so this is dangerous. It makes me want to go buy some video games.
Yeah, no, it makes me, just talking about it makes me want to play through it again, and I totally can't. I can't do that. I might be able to watch a playthrough on YouTube when I'm doing the dishes, perhaps.
Last time we talked about your kids and watching Star Wars and, you know, the violence of it and things like that. Is there similar things like that? I mean, is this something you could, maybe not this particular game, but types of video games that you can play with them with Star Wars and stuff like that?
In terms of violence, it's, you know, there's a lot of fighting and a lot of combat that happens, but it's not particularly, like, it's not gory. There's no blood. You know, you'll hit someone with a lightsaber and they'll just fall down. So while the narrative might be a little adult, not in that way, of course, but a little kind of maybe above someone like my eldest's head, that's a game I wouldn't have a problem playing with my boys. They would probably enjoy that. They would probably enjoy watching me play through it as much as I would enjoy playing it.
Have you ever played any of the, like, the Lego Star Wars games? I know those have been popular too.
Yeah, I've played the I think the original, the prequel trilogy Lego games, and they're a blast. They are a lot of fun. Very silly, very, very goofy. But so, yeah, surprisingly challenging, actually. If you want to complete the entire thing and 100% the game, there are some tricky bits.
Is that end up being more kid-friendly, too?
That's way more kid-friendly. Yeah, there's you shoot a bad guy, they'll dissolve into Lego bricks. So, yeah, I can't think of anything particularly objectionable about the Lego games. You know, it's like the Lego movie.
Right. What are a couple other games on your list?
Knights of the Old Republic is the best one.
I jumped to that one too quick.
No, it's okay. You know, peaked too soon? Nah, it doesn't bother me. It's the story of my life. Dark Forces, particularly Dark Forces 2, they're showing their age a bit now, but they're, again, narratively speaking, they bring some interesting things to the expanded universe, because that's where Kyle Katarin comes from, if you know that dude.
This message is intended for my son, Kyle Katarin. Kyle, I have left two very important items for you. The first is a map to the Valley of the Jedi, and is embedded in the stone ceiling above this room. The last is a lightsaber that once belonged to a friend and great Jedi, Ran. Use it well. Use it for good.
Did you ever play that one, Marshall? That was a first-person shooter. I actually played that on my PC.
No, I haven't. I haven't played that one.
Did you play the first one or the second one, Rish?
I played the first one, the one with stormtroopers and all that. The second one was called Jedi Knight, right?
It was, yeah. That's Kyle Becomes a Jedi Knight.
How many of those were there?
There were two. So there was Dark Forces where Kyle was just a rebel agent, and there was Dark Forces 2, where he found out that his dad was in fact a member of the Jedi Order, or was a Jedi, and was going up against Jerek, who was a dark Jedi, and his cronies trying to find the Valley of the Jedi. And that was really cool. The graphics are... I was looking at some stuff on YouTube about that recently, and yeah, the graphics are showing their age, but I think the story on that would still be pretty great. And there was, I think, I never played it, but there was an add-on, an expansion to Dark Forces 2 called, I want to say Mysteries of the Sith, but I'm not entirely sure, where I think you actually played as Mara Jade, but I never played that one, which kind of always bugged me.
Doesn't seem like we get a lot of Star Wars video games anymore. LucasArts doesn't exist anymore, does it?
No, I think it got dissolved, which is a shame, because they were working on a game called Star Wars 1313, which was set in the undercity of Coruscant, which looked pretty damn cool, but that got canned when the studio got dissolved, which is a real shame.
Wait, was that the Boba Fett game, where you were Boba Fett?
I don't know. I can't remember who you played. I saw some early test footage of that on YouTube. But I think Boba Fett may have played a part in that game.
Boy, that's too bad. All those games just disappeared, huh?
Yeah. But there are still some Star Wars games around. They're a bit few and far between. The most recent ones were The Force Unleashed, which you may have heard of.
Sure. Is that one that you would recommend? Did you play that one?
Yeah, I played the first one. There have been two Force Unleashed games, and while it's a third-person action game, so much more heavily focused on fighting and sort of executing combos and you know, using powers in combination, the gameplay wasn't great, but it was worth playing through the first one anyway for the story, which was really, really interesting. Do you know anything about that?
Vader had been training a young Sith Lord on his own, like a secret apprentice.
Yeah, you play Starkiller, who is Vader's secret apprentice, who is charged with kind of going out and finding rogue Jedi and terminating them.
You were weak when I found you. Now your hatred has become your strength. At last, the dark side is your ally. Rise, my apprentice.
What is your will, my master?
Your training is nearly complete. It is time to face your first true test.
Your spies have located a Jedi?
Yes, Master Ram Kota. He is attacking a critical Imperial shipyard. Destroy him and bring me his lightsaber.
I shall leave at once, master.
The Emperor cannot discover you. Leave no witnesses. Kill everyone aboard, Imperials and Kota's men alike.
As you wish, my master.
And you play as that character?
Yep, you play as Starkiller, which is a nice little nod to the original name wasn't it Luke's got Starkiller? It was going to be in the first instance.
Yeah, I just recently read Dark Horse Comics, and we'll probably do an episode about this at some point, but they did a comic book version of the original screenplay. And, yeah, it was Kane Starkiller, and then Anakin Starkiller was his son. And there was a Luke Skywalker, too, but it was different. So, yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, so, Force Unleashed is... It's worth playing through for the story. It's not nearly as long as Knights of the Old Republic, but, yeah, it's not quite as good. It was apparently canon before the Disney acquisition, so it really happened in the expanded universe, so that was kind of cool.
That's actually what I was going to ask you about, was, you know, how much do these games fit into the canon of it?
Well, the last three completely. Kyle Katarin, and he's a legit expanded universe guy, or at least was. I don't know if he is anymore. Hopefully he is. And Darth Malak and Darth Revan certainly were, and Starkiller absolutely was. Up until the Disney takeover, they were. I don't know if what status their canonization is now, but it'd be cool if they were still in there.
So, like, I noticed, and I pulled up a Wikipedia page about that has a list of all the games, video games out there. But I noticed that, like, just looking at the Force Unleashed, came out in 2008. But it plays on, you know, you can play it on your PC. It's on the Xbox, PlayStation, the Nintendo DS, and even on your iPhone. Do you have any experience playing on these in different platforms, or has it all just been on the PC?
In my earlier days of gaming, I was very big on PC gaming. That was my platform. But when the PlayStation came out, I kind of got swayed into consoles. So I do the large majority of my gaming on console now, simply because I don't have to sit down in the sort of no man's land of the office. I can stay in the nice comfy lounge and play on the big TV.
I guess, is it the same game on the different, like, if I played on my PC and you played it on PlayStation, would it pretty much be the same thing, just the graphics might be better or whatever on the PlayStation? Or?
Yeah, that'll absolutely be it. They're certainly the more recent games, they're exactly the same game. PC, you'd have probably more power and better graphics, but it's the same game. The first time I saw Knights of the Old Republic, my sister was playing it on the original Xbox, because it didn't come out on the PlayStation, which kind of miffed me at the time. So I got hold of it on PC and played it there. But we were talking about it as we played through, and, you know, oh, you did this, I did that. And so, yeah, it's exactly the same game for the most part.
I guess maybe to kind of round this out, you know, you had mentioned some of your kids' exposure to, I don't know if it was on this show or the last time you were with us, but one of their first exposures to Star Wars was the Angry Birds Star Wars version.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think it was last episode. Yeah, that totally was.
You know, I think that's a lot of fun. You know, I play some games on my phone and stuff with my kids. You know, we liked Angry Birds, but it was totally 10 times better when it was Star Wars Angry Birds, you know, and you got the different sound effects and you know, you got the Chewbacca bird and the Leia bird and Han bird and those types of things.
Boba
Fett, I think those things can be a lot of fun, you know.
The Star Wars Angry Birds is my favorite Angry Birds, funnily enough. No, there's some really cool things in there. It's a cute wee game. I think it may have spoiled the whole Anakin as Darth Vader thing, maybe. I don't want to say that for sure, but I'm sure there was something in there that my eldest had kind of said, oh, this is what happens, and this is who this guy is. I mean, how did you know? You're not supposed to know that information. We've got these films to see in a few years. You're spoiling it.
Yeah, I guess that would be one of the hardest things, not watching them with your kids, is who knows what they're going to be exposed to before they can see it for the first time.
Oh, everything. In the case of my eldest, gosh, I think kids at school who have seen it have talked to him about it. I'm pretty sure he knows that Vader is Luke's father, and it's like, oh, it's, yeah, kind of heartbreaking. But who knows? He might forget about that, or it might still overwhelm him when he sees it in the film. I hope it still does. I hope that's still affecting, but
still gets me to watch those scenes, so, and I know it's coming. So. Well, I guess before we end for the night, is there any other video game related Star Wars stuff that you wanted to hit us with?
I think in terms of the video games, I haven't played all of them. I know there are those massive multiplayer online games that are out there. There was one called Star Wars Galaxies, which is apparently really popular, but they got shut down a few years back. And currently there's one called The Old Republic, which is set in The Old Republic. I don't know whether it's pre or after the Revan events of Knights of the Old Republic, but I tend to think it might be after. There's still a crap load of Sith around. I've not played that because I avoid those monthly subscription fee video games because I haven't got the cash to play them, and also I know they'll just destroy my life utterly if I do.
Yeah.
But if you get a chance, have a look at some of the trailers on YouTube for The Old Republic. Seriously, they are some of the best Star Wars things you will see. They are in some ways leagues better than the entire prequel trilogy, and they're only like about, you know, 6-7 minutes long, but they're very cool little short films and worth watching if you haven't.
Well, I suppose there's a possibility we will see a movie set in that era with them doing these spin-off flicks. They're still talking about doing a Yoda one, right?
Yeah,
and we don't know when that takes place, but they could just make up a character and throw him 1,000 years before Star Wars just to have freedom to do whatever they want and see if it catches on. And if so, they could make a whole series of films in that timeline.
There's nothing to stop them. I think they'd be foolish not to. There's all sorts of cool things you can do in the Old Republic that you can't necessarily do. Like, you can't have an army of Sith. Lords start to take on Coruscant, and in the Old Republic you can.
Okay, well, hey, man, I'm not really a video game guy, mostly just because I did do World of Warcraft when it first came out.
No.
And it ate up so much of my time to the point where I felt guilty if I didn't play it, because I'm paying for it, and meanwhile my friends are leveling up, and yeah, eventually I was just like, okay, I have to make a clean break and not ever play this again.
That was like me with Diablo, but yeah, I never went near World of Warcraft. I just knew what it would do to me.
It's neat though to talk to other people. My cousin always played. Oh shoot, I want to say that it was called Jedi Outcast.
No, that was one. Yep. That was, I never played that one, but I know it. That was, I think that was a continuation of Kyle Katarin, I think.
And yeah, he would always talk to me about playing it. And he said, oh, it's so addictive. You've got to play it. And when he'd say that, I'd not want to play it. To me, that's not a positive thing to say about a video game. But
no, you want to downplay the addictive qualities. It's like saying, hey, heroin's awesome. It's so addictive. Try some. no, I think I'll give that a miss. Thanks. That sounds real bad.
Well, I guess maybe since we're all kind of time sensitive about, you know, what we could do playing video games, I guess, do you have a couple games that wouldn't take all your time playing?
Yeah, if you'd want a Star Wars experience that that you could play in little chunks and just get a cool video game Star Wars fix, yeah, I'd recommend Battlegrounds or Battlefront. If you like the Empire building strategic kind of play, then Battlegrounds would be a fun thing to look at. If you want just full on action, you like a shooter that's really rich and gives you a lot of options of different characters to play and different styles of combat. You want to drive an X-Wing or a TIE fighter and dog it out in space, or play on the ground and jump in a tank and blow some guys up. Yeah, Star Wars Battlefront is, I'd recommend two over. The second one was slightly better than the first, in my opinion. You had more options and different gameplay modes. But if time's not an option, then definitely Knights of the Old Republic, in my opinion, and a lot of others, it's the single best Star Wars game there is. Not number two. Number two was really good for two-thirds of it, and then the last third got totally bad and kind of vaguely incomprehensible. They had to rush it out, but the first one's a masterpiece.
And I guess even that one, you wouldn't have to play all the, since it's only yourself playing, you could probably schedule that out or something.
Oh yeah, you could parcel in little bits here and there and just save off. It's not like World of Warcraft, like Rich said. It's you could take it at your own pace. And in some ways, it'd be kind of nice to stretch out the experience and not rush through.
Yeah.
Once again, people are, if you're listening and there's a game that we forgot or one of those is your favorites, you can talk about it in the forums. We do have a forum for Delusions of Grandeur. I believe it's Delusions of Grandeur. Oh, dot for, what is it?
It's SW Delusions of Grandeur .freeforums.org.
Well, as always, if you are listening to the show and you'd like to recommend topics for us to talk about, you can mention that on Facebook, or you can mention that right there on the forums. We intend to do many, many episodes, but a lot of times I don't know what to talk about.
Can I recommend a couple to you right now?
Sure.
Just before I forget, Bounty Hunters. Who's your favorite? And at some point, if you'd have me back on again, I'd love to talk to you guys about the tabletop war game Star Wars X-Wing, which is my current obsession.
Yeah, I saw that you had collected some of these little, well, they were TIE fighters. There was an Interceptor and a regular TIE.
I've got a Y-Wing now.
I asked you about it, and then instantly I regretted it because I thought, uh-oh, I'm going to want to buy these.
Yeah, as soon as I started playing, I kind of vaguely regretted doing it, but I love it too. The more of that heroin we were talking about.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other dimension of games you can play. Because, you know, I know one of the games we have that I enjoy playing a lot, and I think my kids do as well, is it's called Galactic Battle. And it's pretty much like an electronic battleship game where you put your rebel fleet in certain patterns and then you take shots back and forth at each other as the Empire and the Rebellion.
Oh man,
that's always kind of fun.
My boys would love that. My eldest went through a battleship's obsession. Maybe I better not tell him about that. That would cause me no end of time wasted on that.
Yeah, it's kind of fun because it has, you know, like Ben cheering you on or the Emperor laughing at you and things like that as you get hit. It's pretty fun.
That sounds cool. Anyway, sorry for interrupting your end of show flow there. I feel I overstepped my bounds.
No, it's okay. It's something that we've talked about, the two of us, many times. We could do a weekly Star Wars show every single week of the year because there's just so much I'm passionate about. There's so much I don't know. And then there's lots of stuff that I do know that I like to talk about. It's just, yeah, we could do a lot more of these shows if we had the time, if there weren't such things as jobs and video games.
And families. Dependents.
Things like that, yeah.
Yeah, things like that.
But hey, Gino, once again, thanks for joining us here and spending time with us, talking about Star Wars. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, guys, thank you so much for having me. This has been a complete blast. And I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Hopefully it's been worth the wait.
It totally, totally has.
Oh, wow. Okay, well then, thank you for listening all the way to the end of the episode. I have been Rish Outfield.
And this is Marshall Latham.
And I'm just this guy.
Wait, what?
Oh, sorry, wrong science fiction.
We didn't catch the reference.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, Hitchhiker, okay, I got you now. I was thinking maybe it was Red Dwarf or something. Give us a Star Wars quote there, Gino.
What's that thing that you can go and waste time with your friends?
That's the one I was going to say. Great, that's awesome. Yeah, you can waste time with your friends when your chores are done.
The Delusions of Grandeur podcast is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license. This means you can share it with anyone, but do not change it or sell it. Many Bothans died to bring us this information.